All right, let's dive into something a little different today, something you might not think is that exciting. Driver's licenses and data privacy. You sent us some fascinating legal documents about the Driver's Privacy Protection Act, or DPPA for short. And, well, turns out it's a lot more interesting than it sounds.
Yeah, it really is. It's like this shield protecting your personal information from being shared willy-nilly by state DMVs. We're talking names, addresses, even medical information, you name it.
Well, hold on, medical information. On my driver's license. I didn't know they had all that. Okay, so our main sources for this deep dive are some excerpts from the Supreme Court case, Reno v. Condon. And we also have a really helpful case brief that breaks down that decision. But before we get all legal eagle on you, set the scene for us. What was going on before the DPPA came along?
Okay, so picture this. It's the 90s, the internet's just starting to take off, and states are making bank. Big time. By selling your driver's license info, we're talking millions of dollars a year.
Wait, seriously, states were just selling our data like that. That's kind of messed up, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely raised a few eyebrows. And it gets even crazier when you think about how valuable that data would be today, you know, with big data and everything being online.
Right. It was like the Wild West back then. So what changed? How did things get better?
Well, there was this case in South Carolina that really brought the issue to light. They were basically giving away drivers' data like it was candy. And that's what sparked this massive legal battle that went all the way to the Supreme Court.
And that's where the DPPA swoops in, right? Our privacy superhero.
You got it. The DPPA basically put its foot down and said, nope, states, you can't just disclose drivers' information without their consent. There are some exceptions, of course, like if there are safety concerns or law enforcement needs the info.
So it's not like a total lockdown on sharing, but it at least gives individuals some control, right? That's got to be a good thing.
Mm.
But I'm guessing not everyone was happy about this new law.
You're telling me. Some states were pretty ticked off that the federal government was telling them what to do with their data. South Carolina, in particular, they argued that the DPPA was straight up unconstitutional. They said it was federal overreach, forcing states to do the Fed's work.
So we're talking about that classic states' rights versus federal power debate.
Exactly. This case went right to the heart of that tension.
Okay, so we've got a big privacy law being challenged, states battling the federal government. What happens next? How does the Supreme Court rule on all this?
Well, the court had this big decision to make. Did the feds actually have the power to tell states what they could and couldn't do with driver's license data? And their decision ended up coming down to something called the Commerce Clause.
The Commerce Clause. What was that again?
Basically, it gives Congress the power to regulate commerce buying and selling stuff between states.
Hold on. I'm not seeing the connection to driver's licenses here.
Okay, so here's the thing. The court said that states selling driver data is basically like selling any other product across state lines. Since states were acting like businesses in this case, Congress can step in and regulate it just like they do for interstate businesses.
So you're saying my personal info on my driver's license is like a can of soup being shipped across state lines?
Pretty much, yeah. And that was a total game changer.
Wow, that's a bold statement. The Supreme Court sides with the DPPA, but something tells me this isn't the end of the story.
You're right, it wasn't. This case, it kind of set a precedent. It went way beyond just driver's licenses.
What do you mean?
Well, the decision basically gave the federal government more power to regulate any information that states own, you know, if that information is being used in commerce, buying and selling. It was like the court drew this line in the sand for all sorts of state-held data.
Wow, so the ripple effects of this case are huge. We're talking about a whole new level of federal oversight when it comes to data privacy.
Totally, and it really highlights that tension between individual privacy and the free flow of information, which is something we're always grappling with, especially in the digital age.
It's like this constant tug of war. On one hand, we want our information to be protected, but on the other hand, data sharing can be beneficial too.
Exactly. Think about all the ways data is used for good, like medical research, new technologies, even keeping us safe. It's a complex issue, no easy answers.
Right. It's not just a black and white issue of data good, privacy bad, or vice versa. There's a lot of gray area.
For sure. And this case really forced the courts to deal with all those complexities and try to find some balance.
Okay, so back to Reno v. Condon. We've talked about the legal arguments, the Commerce Clause, the Supreme Court's decision. But what does all this actually mean for me, for the average person?
Well, first and foremost, it means you have a right to control your personal information. This case really helped solidify that, right?
That's good to know. But it also feels kind of overwhelming. How can I actually control my data in a world where it's constantly being collected and shared? It sometimes feels like a losing battle.
I hear you. It's definitely a challenge, but it's not impossible. For one thing, you can be more aware of how your data is being used. Read privacy policies, pay attention to those cookie notices, and choose apps and services that prioritize your privacy.
Okay, so knowledge is power. But beyond being informed, what else can I do?
Don't be afraid to ask questions. If a company is asking for your information, ask why they need it and how they're going to use it. You have a right to know.
It's easy to just click agree without really thinking, but we should definitely be more proactive about understanding where our data is going.
Exactly. And if you feel like a company isn't respecting your privacy, speak up or take your business elsewhere.
So it's about being informed, being proactive, and using our voices to advocate for our privacy rights.
Absolutely. And Reno v. Condon is a perfect example of how legal battles can pave the way for those rights. This case may have been about driver's licenses, but its impact goes much further than that.
So next time I'm filling out a form online or being asked for my personal information, I'll remember this case and remember I have a right to control my data.
Exactly. And that's huge. This case shows we're not powerless when it comes to big data. We can make a difference.
Even though the digital landscape is always changing and technology is moving so fast, this case gives us a framework for thinking about data privacy and fighting for our rights.
It does. And it reminds us that the fight for data privacy isn't over. It's an ongoing process that requires us to be vigilant and adapt. But cases like this give me hope that we're heading in the right direction.
That's a good point. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here, but before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to make sure we connect all this back to the bigger picture.
Good idea. It's easy to get lost in the details, but it's important to see the broader context.
Right. So we've seen how the DPPA and the Reno v. Condon case set a precedent for the federal government's role in regulating data privacy. But what are the lasting implications of this decision? How does this case shape our understanding of data privacy in the digital age?
This case really underscores the need for clear legal frameworks to protect individual rights in a world where data is becoming more and more valuable and everywhere.
So Reno v. Condon wasn't just about driver's licenses. It was about setting a legal foundation for how we think about and protect our data in the digital age.
Exactly. It was a landmark case that had far-reaching consequences.
But it also seems like this case opened up a can of worms, raising all these new questions about how we balance individual rights with the free flow of information in a rapidly changing technological landscape.
You're right. Technology is constantly evolving, and the law is always trying to keep up. This case really highlighted the challenges of keeping pace with those changes.
So there's no easy answer, is there? No simple solution to the data privacy dilemma?
Definitely not. It's a complex issue that needs ongoing dialogue, debate, and adaptation.
It sounds like Reno v. Condon was just the start of a much bigger conversation about data privacy that's still going on today.
I think that's a great way to put it. It was a pivotal moment, but the story of data privacy is still being written.
So what can we learn from Reno v. Condon as we continue to navigate this complex and constantly changing digital landscape?
I think one of the key takeaways is that individuals have power. We can't just sit back and let our data be collected and used without our consent or knowledge. We have a right to control our information and to hold companies and governments accountable.
That's empowering. It means we have a role to play in shaping the future of data privacy.
Absolutely. And cases like Reno v. Condon show that our voices can make a difference.
This has been a really insightful deep dive. We've gone from driver's licenses to the Supreme Court, from the Commerce Clause to the complexities of data privacy in the digital age.
It's been quite the journey.
And I think it's safe to say we've all learned a lot. But before we wrap things up, I wanted to leave our listeners with something to think about.
A little food for thought. Always a good idea.
Exactly. So given what we've learned about the DPPA, the Reno v. Condon case, and the ongoing challenges of data privacy in the digital age, here's something to consider. We've seen how the government stepped in to protect driver's license data. But what about the bigger picture? Should the government have even more power to protect our information, especially in this digital age, even if it ruffles a few feathers? It's a tricky question. There are no easy answers, but it's something we'd love for you to think about.
Yeah, it really makes you think about how much control we're willing to give up. You know, in exchange for convenience or progress, it's a trade-off we're all making, whether we realize it or not.
This has been a really eye-opening deep dive, and a huge thank you to you for bringing us these documents and getting this conversation started.
My pleasure, really. It's always more interesting to break down these complex topics together.
For sure. And to you, our listener, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you learned something new and feel empowered to take charge of your own data privacy. Till next time, stay curious.